Sleepers Podcast, Tuesday, July 2nd. Kurt, you said to me before I clicked record, I still don't feel it. What does that mean?
I still don't feel it?
Yeah, like you said, you're not in it today. Like you're out of it. You're not feeling it. You don't feel yourself.
Sometimes I wake up most of the days. I think it was 7 days in a week last time I checked. Usually like four of those days, I'll wake up and just kind of say to myself, like, hey, you're that boy. I didn't do that this morning.
That means four of the final six you will, though, right? That's kind of good.
Hopefully.
You could bank them all for late in the week, I feel like.
See, I don't do carryover. You're that, like, if you got to wake up and if you feel like that boy, like, just say you're that boy.
You can't accrue your that boy days.
Yeah, there's no roll. It's not like this PTO. You can't roll over on that boy days.
Ah, that's tough. Okay. Well, I think you're that boy.
You sure?
I think you're that boy. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You want to kick us off with a YouTube comment today?
Of course I do. I'm picking the first one today too, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not messing around here.
Hey, while you look for that, do you mind if I do something surprising before you?
Oh God, sure.
So we just want to say a happiest of birthdays to Traveling Gonads, who also goes by the name Beans. Beans, your friends Ben and Josh just want to let you know that life's a whole lot simpler than it seems. Just hold some beans. Traveling Gonads / Beans, I think we missed your birthday over the weekend. We were on vacation not doing episodes, but shout out to Simpleton Friday, aka your friends Ben and Josh, who wanted to make sure you know that you are loved and you had a great birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my dog Gonads. I'm sick we missed that now too. That's bad on us.
It is.
This one comes from Burnman 23 on the NBA draft losers video. It's fine to argue the Bucks lost because they didn't get projected immediate help, but AJ Johnson outplayed most of your precious college basketball stars at the combine scrimmages while being younger and toolsier. Bad player he is not. I'm getting the word toolsier in my bag now when I'm defining players. That's all I got out of that comment. Do you have anything further?
No, I'm reading something in our Discord real quick. I completely tuned you out. Can you respond to it yourself?
Oh, sure. Why not? I know AJ Johnson did, I guess you could say, outplay some of my precious college basketball stars at the combine. I don't know if that's necessarily true. He had some moments, but also, like, I know for a fact Baylor Shireman outplayed him at the combine. KJ Simpson outplayed him at the combine. So let's not do that. I know he is younger. Like I said, I'm an AJ Johnson guy. Him being 19th is crazy, and I'm an AJ Johnson guy. That should tell you something. And lastly, I'm like writing this down. He used the word toolsier, Greg. Like he said, AJ Johnson is toolsier than the other players that we named. So I just want you to add that to your vocab.
I will add the word tools here to my vocab.
You didn't hear that. You didn't hear anything I just said, did you?
No. Just tools here. I got to add that to my vocab.
What are you locked in on right now?
Just responding.
Oh, no. Which thread? Actually, just tell me which thread and I'll know.
I'm just saying, the Decrump 3, we got some constructive criticism in the Discord in general right now. Decrump 3 popped in, not in comments, so I don't think you wanted this read on the show, but Decrump 3 dropped in the Discord at noon today to say, you need to keep NBA takes to yourself and still with college basketball. He meant to say stick, but he spelled it wrong, as people usually do when they come to criticize us. They usually spell things at the level of like a kindergartner. I can tell you all just don't keep up with it enough and your takes are pretty weak and casual. Okay.
Damn.
All right.
That's crazy. For sure.
Cool. Damn. Yeah, I just responded.
Ah. All right, then.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty toolsy response.
It could have been toolsier. Decrump, you came in at the wrong time for this, brother. You're throwing off the mojo of the episode.
No, we're good. We're good. I'm just going to keep responding, Cart. You got to carry though right now, I'll be honest with you.
I do. All right, so do I got to go to comments?
Yeah, can you take us to the comments?
What the hell? Okay, do you know which one we left off on?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, great. I'm gonna start with this one. I think it's this. I Maynard says, if you had to pick up one of the nerd niche interests, which would it be? Anime, pro wrestling, cosplaying, LARPing, or K-pop and K-dramas?
I don't really know the difference between most of those things, to be honest, but I did have like one weekend I was really into K-pop.
I think I would do K-pop too. Maybe pro wrestling. I don't know. I can't rock with anime. I don't rock with cosplay. I don't even know what LARPing is. I don't even know what K-dramas is either. So, yeah, I'm gonna answer K-pop.
Okay. Yeah, I think K-pop's the right move.
Okay. Let's see what else we got. Sleeve Nash. Which player from recent seasons has had the most memorable clutch performance in a critical game?
I feel like we're missing an obvious one here. Like, I mean, Carson Edwards in the tournament run comes to mind.
Yeah, Carson Edwards in the tournament run. TSJ's run in the Big Ten tournament
Yeah.
that was nice. Aaron Henry to get us to the play-in game for Michigan State.
But those all feel more like runny and less like clutch in game, you
In
know?
like we need a an in-game
I mean, the
one.
Caleb Love shot to get Coach K extinguished.
That's it for sure.
The moment of that seems, and I throw a lot of jokes Caleb Love's way, but like,
That
that was crazy
game as a
run.
whole was crazy too. He snapped in the second half.
Yeah, I think that's my answer. Good question. I feel like we're still missing some obvious ones there.
I'm gonna go with that one. All right, next another one from Sleeve Nash. PG Jeremiah Fears, shooting guard Jasper Johnson, small forward AJ DeBanca, power forward Cooper Flagg, center Chris Sinak, off the pine Boozer Twins, Acuff, Coapi, Kyan Anthony, Big Ja, head coach Tyler Underwood, assistant Luke Murray, strength coach John Lawyer. I'm not going to read the other part of this. Where does this team finish in the Big Ten, and are they making the tournament and going on a run?
Who's John Lawyer?
Maybe Fletcher's dad.
I mean, that team would be really good in the Big Ten, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think they would win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think they'd win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think they win the Big Ten. I think they'd be a highly rated seed. And they probably would lose in the first weekend because a bunch of young congregation of dickheads. Like I think they could pull together like a Kentucky thing. Like they were like 36-1.
Yeah.
Something like
Yeah,
that.
then too much talent to be anything lower than first. That has
Yeah.
to be the answer.
Middle name Mateen. There is a rumor floating around that LeBron has been sleeping with his newest teammate's mom. Oh, middle name Mateen. What a good one. Let's see
You didn't
here.
like that one? That feels like a you joke.
No, but the follow-up is funny because Painter's Petting Zoo said, dang, didn't know Carry Connect was a baddie like that.
Nice.
Good follow-up on there.
Nice.
Mano CBB comments on the Illini practice footage from Sunday. The KJ Merez pick and roll is gonna feed families. To tap into the channel, we have a video for that. Doctor, free my boy. Jalen Hood-Schifino. Congrats to Lil GM and Bronny. It's one of the coolest stories in sports, but I don't want it to come at the expense of Braden Smith's father. Do we care that Jalen Hood-Schifino is in this situation with the Lakers?
I mean, calling him Braden Smith's father is crazy. Can we start there?
He did. He did walk into Braden Smith's house and have 35 and Mackey.
We think that was like just at the expense of like Braden. Like to me, that's like he did that to Painter and Edie.
Well, I think you're diving too far into it. Like this is like calling AJ Hogard Tyler Kolek's father, you know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
he did walk into Mackey, get a dub, and drop 35. That's pretty crazy.
It was big. I view that more at Painter and Edie's expense than Braden's, but I'm also just out here defending my guy Braden. No, to answer the question, no. No.
Do you have a father besides your own father?
Daddy Brad for a couple of years, but that's come to an end now.
Okay. I don't know who my other dad is.
Not like his reign has come to an end, by the way, just like he's not my dad anymore because the bad man left.
The bad man. That makes sense. That's the comments for today.
Oh, great job, comment section. Appreciate you. Hey, Cart, who are we brought to you by?
We're brought to you by the good folks at
Nowhere. I don't want to do this bit 31 days in July, so let's just skip that from now on. Let's get to the show.
All right.
Let's kick off today's show with some NBA talk, Cart. Sound fun?
No.
Free agency's ongoing. We're recording this at noon on Monday. So, look, there's probably going to be new deals announced tonight that we won't even get to and make this video seem outdated. But at the time of recording this, there have been a bunch of signings that have come through and been announced. To name a few of these out loud, Cart, we have Paul George to the 76ers that has been announced today. We have Tobias Harris to our own Detroit Pistons. I'm literally just scrolling through Woj's right now, picking out the names that are important enough for me to yell about. Isaiah Hartenstein to the Oklahoma City Thunder for $87 million. Big needle moving one there. Leaves from one contender of the Knicks, goes to the Thunder. Anything else that you want to call out before we just do some big winners to set the table on? We have Tyrese Maxey signing a $205 million max contract. That's obviously big news. Feels like Paul George was the biggest one. Kelly Oubre also going to the Sixers, though. Sixers seem to be loading up, like, serious contender-ish stuff. Jonas Valanciunas goes to the Wizards. Troy Weaver really making his presence felt with the Wiz right now. First thing he does is get Alex Sarr and then sign two more front court players. I've seen that before. Our own Cade Cunningham signed a max rookie deal as well for five more years. So I guess what am I missing? Am I missing anything, Cart?
No, I think you touched on, you did say Chris Paul to the Spurs, right?
Didn't say Chris Paul to the Spurs. That was a big one last night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to the Magic. Kevin Porter Jr. is back in the league. Some people feel gross about that one, but yeah, I think those are most of the big ones right now.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Did we want to touch on the ones we like first or ones we don't like?
I guess let's do just winners and losers. Do that however you want to. Like, who are the winners and losers of free agency thus far?
Okay, well, easy loser is the Clippers. They are the biggest losers of free agency. And that's before I even get to where I want to talk about, like with Paul George and stuff like that. The fact that they signed Kevin Porter Jr. is disgusting to me. It just is, like, straight up. Not just a year or not, I don't even know how long ago it happened, but, like, you know, he's had trouble off the court issues since he came into the league. He's a guy who kind of is known as having issues in the locker room. He was, like, throwing food at coaches and having issues with coaches in the locker room. And he also, you know, brutally assaulted his girlfriend and was out of the league. And the very first thing the Clippers do on the first day of free agency is pay that guy and sign him to your team. And then you follow that up with giving James Harden a 2-year, $70 million deal. And then you lose Paul George for nothing after you traded for Paul George every single pick player that you almost ever known. So the Clippers are the biggest loser of NBA free agency so far, clearly to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out for every reason you already said, both basketball and non-basketball reasons. That feels good. Love that you started with losers too. That just seems like your energy is slowly coming back to you as you now get your feet underneath you a little bit. Do you consider our Detroit Pistons a loser thus far?
I was going to leave that up to you.
Well, I feel like you're really negative on this. Tobias Harris, for the price point he's at, is a lot of money, but also, like, the Pistons have to spend something at some point, right? Like, we can't just sit here with $50 million in cap.
But do you have to spend it on Tobias Harris?
Is Tobias Harris a good basketball player or no?
I think so.
I think he is. I think this is the first time we've put a good basketball player with Cade Cunningham, honestly. Like, I don't know. I'm at the point, I said this to you offline. I'm at the point, I just want to see Cade Cunningham with some different roster builds and see. Like, it is part of this Cade's issues, or is part of this just everything around him?
It's everything around him outside of personality is like, I think even coaching is issue here. So maybe hopefully Bickerstaff is someone who can fix that. Yeah. But you know, when I did take the step back originally, I did make the mistake coming into free agency. I was just like, you know what, just like maybe sign someone that's not Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
It's also hard to do it because you got to look at like what Tobias Harris did, you know, during the regular season last year. Where, on the other hand, for most of the NBA playoffs, he was a war criminal and he was against us. But at the same time, we as Pistons fans, and I am part of the problem, the issue with this. We won, what, 17 games last season?
Mm-hmm.
Can't win 17 games and complain about signing Tobias Harris.
No.
And I take blame for that.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, a couple other quick losers for me. Both are player specific. Loser number two for me is Stephon Castle, who held out and told everyone, I only want to go somewhere I can be the point guard. And then the Spurs take him to be their point guard. And then they sign Chris Paul 24 hours later. That's, you can't make that up. Do you like Chris Paul to the Spurs?
I think I do. I think I do because it's like they signed for 1 year, $11 million. Like,
yeah. It just seems like a pure, like, Chris Paul and Pop belong together for at least 1 year play and just kind of, like, culture, bring Wemby along before you retire type move.
He's an upgrade at the spot from what they had last season.
Yeah. I think
the real loser, the real loser to this might be, like, Trey Jones.
Honestly, the only reason I would say the Spurs are a loser with the Chris Paul signing is that I don't know that I'd be trying to win games next year. And I think Chris Paul helps you win games, right? Like, if you're the Spurs, I don't know if they have their picks or not. I should probably look it up. Wouldn't you like to take one more shot at, like, the Cooper Flagg draft?
Yeah, but it'd be nice.
I'm just saying. I don't know. But
well, they don't have to because they'll get it because Wemby and Pop get their way.
Yeah, you're so right. Extremely true. My last loser for free agency thus far, and this could change by tonight. We'll see. Klay Thompson. I feel sad for my boy Clay Cart. I feel sad for him. And I'm not saying it's not deserved given the state that he currently is in. But it's really kind of heartbreaking to watch, like, the Warriors just be like, yeah, we're done here. Like, he was going to be a lifer. He's so ingrained into, like, Steph and Clay that I don't know. Like, if you're still committing to, like, Steph being here, I wish the Warriors would have found a way to make this work. And the reality is, I know Klay Thompson's going to have options on the table. It sounds like the Lakers are putting a serious pursuit on him. We could see other teams as well, like the Orlando Magic have been rumored to make a run at Klay. But it just sort of feels like none of the options that are going to become available to Klay are where he wants to be. And I don't view any of these teams as, like, true championship contenders unless he ends up on, like, the Sixers somehow.
Do we want the Pistons to sign Clay?
I would love it if they did. But, like, I would feel so sad for Clay if he ends up in Detroit.
I would love it, though.
If you're the Warriors, are you just giving Clay what he wants, though? Or are you, like, being cutthroat and saying, like, no, we're done here?
I think you got to be a little bit cutthroat.
There's times you got to reward your past.
There is. Also, I feel like they're being cutthroat with everyone. No, they're not being cutthroat with anyone but Clay.
Yeah.
Like, why are we not being cutthroat with, like, Draymond?
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it. It makes me sad. Okay, winners. Free agency winners. It has to be the Sixers, right?
Yeah. Can I get one more shout to a loser?
Sure.
Sorry. Nikola Jokic.
Why?
Because in the last two seasons, all he does is just lose, like, his complimentary role players. Mm. Like, they win a championship, he loses Bruce Brown. And I get it, they couldn't pay Bruce Brown. This one's a little different. Like, they could have paid KCP if they want. And they let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are they just, like, believing in Christian Brown? Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't
KCP,
know.
KCP is like one of the better 3-and-D players in the league.
Yeah.
And they just let him go when they could have paid him.
Yeah, you're right.
But right. Not, we don't got to get into a you know, a long tangent on it, but I'm just throwing that one out there. My first winner got to be the Philadelphia 76ers. Easy. Lock down Maxey. You get Paul George. You get Joel Embiid, right? And yes, there's a world where they're paying Paul George the max money until he's 38 years old. There's also a world where they just need a run that hits, like Embiid just does not, you know, hurt himself, or Paul George just stays healthy. And they have, like, I think they have the perfect fit on this team. Like, I think Tyrese Maxey, George, Embiid all work extremely well together. They also added Andre Drummond and Eric Gordon. So, like, you got, like, some veterans who are low dollar value but can add some depth to the team. I like what the Sixers have done so far, and I think they could do some more, too. Like, they got a lot of money tied up in these guys, but I think they'll be able to have the flexibility to get, like, some other players at, like, low money options that want to maybe win a championship.
Not to be too off topic, but did you see the new Zach Edey pick?
No.
This man is on a generational heater with Pixcart. Hold
on. Can you text it to me?
Yeah, it's coming right now. It's insane. I have a few more winners I'll get to quickly, but you look at that picture.
Where is it?
Dog.
Yeah, he's got to chill.
This is an insane heat check for him. My other winners, I like the Oklahoma City pickup of Hartenstein a lot. I do. I think, like, there were rumored, like, oh, who else could Oklahoma City get as their big? And we talked about Edie as a landing spot for him. But, like, Isaiah was so good in the playoffs for the Knicks. And to me, with everything else you have on OKC already, he kind of slots in perfect. He can let Chet be a little more perimeter-oriented, but he's not going to be upset if Chet's on the floor and he's on the bench. Like, seemed like a good value pickup. I like it for OKC. And my last big winner is all of the players in the NBA.
These guys are getting paid.
These contracts are stupid, dude. Like, you look at who like a role player in the NBA or whatever a role player is making, then you look at like the best football players on earth. Like, this happens every year, and every year I lose my mind about it. I just can't really process what's going on right now.
I saw a funny tweet earlier. It did come at the expense of Michigan, but it's like, we're probably an hour away from getting, like, Nick Stauskas has signed like a 2-year, $14 million deal with some random team like the Miami Heat. And then you have like the star athlete from this other sport, and they're just making like, they're making probably that same contract. The money that's going around in the NBA is absolutely ridiculous right now.
Yeah, that was Sheehan who had the Stauskas tweet. I laughed at it too, but I couldn't throw a like on it because that's my boy. We didn't have to single Nick out. That's my guy. He's still giving 60 on your head top in the G League whenever needed. But okay, there's your winners and losers. I'm excited for this one because I feel like it's a media obligation cart to go immediately from the NBA draft to the next year's NBA draft. It's like when the Final Four wraps up, every writer in media rel already has to have their way too early top 25 for next season done. So yeah. Now you got to do the way too early 2025 NBA mock draft. There's been a lot of, like, I don't know, just stupid, like, clickbaity stuff lately on, like, is Cooper Flagg guaranteed to go one, or could somebody else go one? That's a conversation for a later day. All I care about with the 2025 class right now is this is a great class. The teams that are tanking are going to be rewarded next year in a way that they were not this year. Zachary Risache might not go five or top five in next year's draft class. It's a super, super great collection of talent. And there's a lot of young teams or young teams that are not ready to contend that are going to benefit from trying to be bad this year. So let's do a little mock draft. I think the way this should work, we'll just do the lottery. We'll just do our first 14 picks and we'll go back and forth. So you can pick first or second if you want, and we'll just make selections as we go. And obviously we don't know the teams that we'll be drafting there. So let's just kind of big board this and put players where we think they belong.
Okay. I'll take first. I'll take first. I want the layup. Scooper Flag.
Zero hesitation in your mind?
None. Absolutely none.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that's your answer. I think it should be 100 out of 100. I'm getting annoyed that anybody is saying it's not. How early is too early for the Rutgers duo?
It's not never too early for those boys.
So I think you can check me on this if you want. Nah, I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you choose. I don't want to choose between the Rutgers duo. At second overall on my big board, I'm sticking with the Brotherhood. Let the Young Bulls rock. Come on, Malawak.
Wow, at two.
He's going second off the board for me. I've seen him mocked up like fifth on a lot of boards right now from the big services. Yeah, I want to say the tape that I've seen and the stuff behind the scenes we're hearing on this kid, I think he could be the next great NBA big. Like, he's just an insane shot blocker, insane rim protector. He's 7'2", 9'8" standing reach. And I get like I kind of thought he'd come in raw. Like, everybody, if you're going to compare him, like, maybe he's the next Embiid. Embiid was like really raw when he got to Kansas. Malawak doesn't look raw at all. Like, I think he's going to be a stud. So I'm putting him second. If he hits at Duke, I think he could be even in contention with Cooper Flagg, but I would say second.
You thought you were going to make me pick. I'm still going to make you pick. I'm taking BJ Edgecombe three.
At three?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that he might. I think the Rutgers guards, the Rutgers guard wings, they might hurt each other in where they go in this draft. BJ Edgecombe, to me, I think is going to be clearly the best guard on Baylor. They're going to win a lot of basketball games. And a 6'5 electric guard in transition that is also known as like a plus defender and has the athleticism he does. I think he's going to be an easy top five pick in this draft. And I think someone's going to take him at three.
Interesting. You know what else might hurt them?
What?
Playing in a Steve Peichel offense could probably hurt your draft stocks a little bit, right?
There's a world.
Okay, then I'm not going to pick either. I'm going to make you do it.
Oh, come on. We can't just do this and let them just slip all the way.
Carter, who did we say the biggest winner in the 2024 NBA draft was?
The biggest winner, the Spurs?
France.
Oh, no.
This is going to continue. Fourth overall in the 2025 NBA mock draft, I'm taking Nolan Traore, 6'4" point guard from France. Now, I know you are familiar with Traore because we talked about him a little bit last month at the ANGT event or whatever that Igor Demin and Kasperis were kind of popping off on. Traore was unstoppable. Like, he was a level above those guys, and we think those guys could potentially end up being lottery picks. Look, there's always a chance you draft a 6'4" point guard from France. Maybe you end up being Killian Hayes. But to me, there were real college programs that wanted Traore. Like, we heard rumor that all of the Blue Bloods were making phone calls. Like, could Gonzaga get him before they got Braden Smith? And it hasn't happened. He's not coming to college. If he did, I think we'd be viewing him ahead of the way we view the Rutgers guards.
Okay, I'm not mad at that pick.
So we're down to pick five, and neither Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper have been picked.
We're gonna go Dylan Harper at five. This is enough.
Over Ace Bailey.
Over Ace Bailey, yes.
Why over Ace Bailey?
Because if Steve Peichel's offense is gonna be bad, I'm gonna pick the freshman who's more likely to have the ball in their hand because he'll catch it off the inbounds pass more likely than Ace Bailey will.
I guess that's true. All right, I'll go Ace Bailey at six. I actually think Ace is a better NBA prospect given his frame. I think Ace is like your prototypical NBA wing, 6'9", 200 pounds. Like, yeah, he'll put some additional weight and muscle on, I assume. Dylan Harper, like, to me, he's not a point guard, but he's kind of going to play point guard at Rutgers, but I don't think he's your NBA point guard. And I don't know that I love, like, he's 6'5", he's not small. But I just feel like there's going to be a little bit of like a size adjustment there where even if he's the more productive player in college, people will talk themselves into Ace Bailey being the pro's pro. I think that's great value for both of them at five and six. I also would have not picked Ace Bailey until you did if you didn't pick Dylan Harper first.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I would have let them keep slipping. I did not want to pick between the two of them.
Okay, well, I'm glad we cannot let them say. All right, we are on to number what pick?
7. So we have to get to 14 here.
Ooh. 7, I am going to take. Greg, what podcast are we?
The podcast of the Latter-day Saints.
You damn Skippy. You damn Skippy are. Igor.
You did what I wanted to do at 7, or at 8. Yeah, I look, if Kasperis is what people are telling us Kasperis is, I can only imagine what the guy who's worth $500,000 more dollars than him is. We got to see some tape of it, but Igor Demin feels like a pretty safe lock to be taken in the lottery next year. I'm excited to see him at BYU. All right, Igor's off the board at 7. Kind of feels like it opens up after the top 7. I'm going to give a shout to your guy. I'm going to go Trey Johnson at 8. Now, I'm a little worried about Trey Johnson kind of getting lost in the shuffle with Texas now that they've added Kaluma and all these wings that they got. Tremont Mark's really good. Jordan Pope needs the ball. But to me, he's going to be the most talented player of the group. A true NBA scorer prototype guy. That, yeah, if he hits, if he ends up starting at Texas, I think 8th feels right for him next year.
I like that. Okay. Love Trey Johnson. With my next pick, I'm going to go with another guard that I love out of this class. I'm going to go with Jahlil Bethea from Miami. 6'4". He's probably going to shoot 40% from 3. Deep range. He's an athlete. Like, I think he's going to find his way kind of towards the bottom half of the top 10. So this feels right for him at this spot. I think he's going to be an electric scorer.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I can buy into that pick for sure. 10th, huh?
10th.
Kasperis Jack has shown us goes 10th.
Woo! Gregory.
I'm buying it, man. I think it's real.
Kasperis at 10.
I think it's real. I think he's going to be that good.
Oh, my.
I do. I think it's going to be that good.
I didn't know we were going to go there, but I'm not upset that we – I mean, shit. If anything's adding up that we've seen in there, then it makes a lot of sense to me.
I think it's going to be that good, Card. I really do.
Okay. I like that. All right. I am there's nothing that says more this area of pick than just give me the 6'7" shooter who's going to be playing in a great offense this past season. Is going to look really good.
Damn it.
Plug and play him, Liam McNeely.
That's who I wanted to pick at 12. I didn't think you were going to pick him. I think the Dan Hurley pairing is going to help him a lot. Like, I really do believe that. And we're going a couple straight years that UConn has had like a lottery guy. Like, I don't expect that to stop. And if there is one on this UConn team, it's definitely him, right? Like, there's not a different name we're kind of missing, is there?
It's not.
Wouldn't be Mahaney. Wouldn't be Caravan.
No.
Yeah, so it's got to be Liam, which maybe speaks to a little bit about where UConn's roster could be at talent-wise, but maybe they'll still be as good in college even without it. Okay, that takes me to 12. I'm going to give a shout here. Ralph's comments the other day had me a little nervous, but I'm going to stick in my faith here based on what my eyes saw last year. This dude's going to break out in such a massive way. I'm going Colin Murray-Broyles.
Like, I love him, but he's a 6'7" 4.
He's a 6'7" like combo wing, but he was so poppy in his minutes last year at South Carolina. Like, if they just play him 30, 35 minutes, last year he averaged 10.4 points, 5.7 rebounds in just 22 minutes a game. I think he could put up some absolutely absurd numbers. And I mean, defensively and just all the intangible stuff he has, he's going to be a first round pick next year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at that pick. I love Colin Murray-Broyles.
All right. 2 more picks here.
We're a Big Ten podcast. We are.
Are you doing what I'm – you keep taking the guys I want.
Big Taco's having a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big Taco's having a year. And Kenzie Mbako makes his way up there.
I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. It might be a reach. It is a reach, probably. but I think he's going to have a really good year.
Interesting. Surprised you didn't go Cannon Catchings. I'm just saying.
Is that
all right we you said we're what a big we're a Big Ten podcast.
Yeah,
so there was one team already that had two lottery picks, right?
Yes.
Should we make it a second?
Oh,
Will Riley goes 14th.
Oh wow, Gregory,
I think he's that good. Like, I think he's going to get there and be this, like, super dynamic swingman scorer because Ferris is going to make his life easier. Those two will be featured. He's young. Reclassifying is going to help him in draft or GM's eyes. Does the world of basketball run through the Big Ten next year?
Streets are saying it.
Kind of does.
But it doesn't. It runs to the Big 12.
Crazy. Also, can we run back our top 10? Because I got to write this down so we can make a graphic out of this.
Yes, we can. So, Cooper Flagg was one.
Yep.
Two was
Malawak. Yep.
Three was Edgecombe.
Yep.
Four was Bailey.
Traore. Five was Harper. Six was Bailey.
Seven was Igor.
Eight was Trey Johnson. Nine was Bethea. 10 was Kasparis. 11 was McNeely?
Yes. Wait, do we already say Bethea Johnson?
You already said Bethea. 10 was Kasparis. 11 was McNeely. Why can't I remember my 12th one?
12th was Murray Boyles.
Murray Boyles, yes. 13... 13 was 13, Mbako.
Mackenzie Mbako. 14.
And 14 was Will Riley. Wow. Look at us. Topic three today, I want to try and predict the NBA all-rookie team. So five spots on this team. We can certainly try and project who we think those five names will be. To help guide this conversation, I do want to read off some NBA rookie of the year odds from an unnamed sports book here. Actually, you know what? We don't have a sportsbook partner right now, so we can name the sportsbook. This is from DraftKings. Here are all of the leaders in the Rookie of the Year race odds per DraftKings as of today. Alex Saar is the favorite, plus 350. Zachary Risache, plus 450. Stephon Castle, 7-1. Zach Edey, 11-1. So Zach Edey is fourth, most likely NBA Rookie of the Year at 11-1. But nobody want to consider him top five. Interesting. Okay. Tajani Salon, 12-1. I don't know how that happens. Reed Shepard and Donovan Klingon and Dalton Connect, also 12-1. Cody Williams and Ron Holland, 14-15-1. Rob Dillingham, 18-1. Modest Buzelis, 20-1. And so on and so forth. Okay. Rookie of the year is not the question. It's all rookie. Five names is what we need. Where are we starting?
I think we got to start with Zach Edey.
Isn't he the safest bet here?
I think he's the safest. I think he's going to have this is the thing, too. Well, you can argue who's going to be the best player rookie out of this class. We can have that conversation. Part of the all-rookie team is that guy going to have an opportunity? And is that guy going to make an impact?
Mm-hmm.
Edie's been the most impactful player in college basketball the past two seasons. And he's going to a team that's going to be good, and he's going to have a chance to make an impact. And things might be easy for him.
Agreed. I mean, I don't have any pushback on this at all. Also, I am 100% betting Zach Edey 11-1 to win Rookie of the Year. It's insane value. I think he's the most, it's a perfect situation. We already talked about it a bunch on the channel, but I think he's going to start at center and he's going to be uber productive on a team that wants him to be productive. It couldn't have been a better landing spot. If Edey's the first name we agree on, can we agree that Alex Saar should probably be second? Regardless of how good or not good he will be, I think he is like the most talented guy here. And look, Washington's adding other front court guys, but they're still in a spot where they're tanking and they're just going to let him rock, right?
Yeah, he's going to get numbers.
Yeah. So I think like if we're really saying five guys, those are the two I feel like really safe about. And then I think everything else gets a little dicier, Cart.
Are we sure Dalton Connect's not safe?
Talk me into Connect. There's some other names I would go to before we go Connect, but I don't hate it.
I mean, I'm just thinking like Connect's going to be in a situation where he's not asked to do anything really crazy, but could also have the ability to do something crazy, and he's going to get an opportunity to play. He's a guy who can score the ball at a very high clip. He's going to be playing on the Lakers. That's going to give him a bump. He's going to be playing with LeBron James. That will give him a bump, in my opinion. AD, other players around him. I think Dalton could fit into a role there and be very, very successful.
So the only reason I'm afraid of that is you said it word for word. He's not going to be asked to do a lot. To me, the guys who end up on the all-rookie team are given opportunities by default to be asked to do a lot. And like, if Connect is supposed to just be the fifth option for the Lakers, he could shoot it well enough to get there, but that still seems like a non-guarantee. You know what I mean?
I mean, does he start for the Lakers, do you think?
I don't think so, no. Ooh. He might get there, but like, I don't view Connect being a Laker as like a great situation for his personal numbers as a rookie.
Who would you have?
I think there's at least one like wing you got to put over this, and it's right in line with the Alex Sarr stuff. Bouzelis with the Bulls, I think, is just going to like probably become one of their best players pretty quickly.
I like the Mattis shout.
Yeah. And also, he carries himself like a dude who wants to win Rookie of the Year and might go hunt numbers at the expense of his team's own wins.
Yeah, I do like that. The only thing is that there's so many wings.
I know.
On that team, that scared me.
I know. But he was one of the better values. He fell. It's wide open. I feel good about those top three, at least.
Yeah. See, I think we approach this a little bit differently, which is fine. Because, like, for me, I was going to have Reed Sheppard on my all-rookie team.
I mean, what type of numbers do we think Reed Sheppard averages, though? Like, to me, there's going to be dudes, even if Reed Sheppard's, like, a better player, there's going to be some rookies who just, like, average 14 a game and make the all-rookie team. And I, like, to me, I feel like Reed's going to be, like, 8-3-3 off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a numbers thing. It's not, you know, whatever, success in the role and things like that. It's all rookie. So what would be the last two names you would have on your team?
I mean, you can still talk me into others, but some ones that jump out to me, I wouldn't say Klingon because I'm worried Ayton's going to play over him. I would listen to Stephon Castle. Like, if Castle's just that much of an impact defender and
ends up, Wemby.
Yeah, just kind of slots in between Wemby, maybe the Spurs defense is like stupid good and Castle gets a lot of credit for it. I would listen to Cody Williams with the Jazz. I know a lot of jokes are being making at the Jazz's expense right now, but like, I mean, look at what they've done with Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen in the last couple of years. Like, their numbers end up exploding on a team that's not very good. We like Cody Williams' talent. He could just average like 17 a game for the Jazz and be really good.
And with Keontae George, I like the Cody Williams was on my list.
Okay, so let's lock Cody in. We need to agree on the fifth. So we got Bouzelis, Cody, Sarr, and Edie. Who do we think the fifth is?
I think I would like Castle in that spot.
You like Castle?
Yeah.
Is there any random name we're missing? Like, shit, the Jazz got Isaiah Collier too. Baylor Shireman with the Celtics, could he work his way in?
Shireman could work his way in. I don't hate that. No, I think I want Castle in that spot.
Okay. All right.
Is Richaché going to make all rookie second team?
I am not ever going to say Richaché is going to do anything good.
Okay.
If he does, I'll start talking about it. But until then, I am just not going to bank on it. I don't see it.
Are you sprinkling on Bronny James plus or at 30-1?
No. God, no.
Sprinkling on Ron Holland at all?
I'm not sure Bronny plays a second for the Lakers next season.
A second. Wow.
I'm truly not sure about it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in summary, Alex Sarr, Zach Edey, Stephon Castle, Cody Williams, Mattis Bouzelis is our all rookie team. This will be a fun rookie race to watch. Feels wide open. Maybe some value from a betting perspective. One big thing presented by Nobody. What do you got?
A day where I did not, I don't think, come properly prepared for my one big thing. And I'm not a fan of that. Could you go first?
Yeah. It's going to kill the tone for your, if you come up with a stupid one big thing. But my one big thing, I want to give a personal shout out to three different sets of friends that I have. Spencer and Carly Rosecrans just welcomed their second child to the world last week. Shout out to them. Zach and Katie Hirth just welcomed their son, their second child as well, the brother and sister duo now. And then actually, there's a scheduling for a birth today. So maybe I shouldn't beat this one. This is bad. But today's the official due date, delivery date of Jenna and Jimmy Kristoff today, which is crazy. I'm officially an old head because three sets of friends that were in my wedding now all had babies in a 7-day span. And that's crazy.
That's unk status for you.
Yeah, big, big unk.
Big unk. I want to be an unk.
You are an unk.
I am?
I mean, you're my daughter's uncle.
That's very true. But she hates me.
No, that was a phase. She got over all that.
All right. Can't wait to test that out in our scheduled date to hang out with each other in 6 months from now.
Yeah, 9 months.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Oh, actually, okay. I do have my one big thing. My one big thing is that, Greg, you need to add golf handicapper to your list of abilities. Your ability to handicap golf matches is special.
But I hate handicapping. That was the whole thing. The whole reason we had to talk about it for an hour was like, I hate handies suck.
But you're good at it.
I think I got lucky. I think it worked out. That's what happened. I'd rather not revisit it. We spent enough time arguing about it. But congrats on your shared victory with Terrence, according to our handicapped golf match. That's the show. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Have a great Tuesday.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.